Welcome to Celebrating Bike Month, a collaboration between Chico Velo and KZFR. I'm Whitney Garcia, co-manager of Chico Velo. May is National Bike Month, and to celebrate, each week throughout the month of May, we'll release a new segment highlighting Chico's unique cycling community, giving listeners an opportunity to learn about biking in Chico, local bike infrastructure, and plans for future projects. We'll talk with local bike shops to help you with bike service or to find something new. We'll also focus on bike safety in the greater Chico cycling community. The folks we interview come from a variety of backgrounds and possess a diversity of skills and resources. But we all have one thing in common, and that is a love for bikes. With a long history in local cycling, every month is Bike Month for us. Chico Velo is excited to be here at the KZFR studios. This first interview will reintroduce Chico Velo, our mission, vision, values, and recent activities. Today, I'm joined by Chico Velo Board President Mandy McKay. Mandy, tell us a little bit about your background in Chico and how you got involved with Chico Velo.
I've been in Chico for almost 20 years. I went to school here at Chico State and then was really lucky to be able to stay on after graduating and find a job. So I've been part of the community for a long time. Biking has always been part of that life that I've had here and been able to build here. And it's one of my favorite things about living in Chico is that it is so easy and so conducive to riding bikes, whether for transportation or for recreation. So I very early on got introduced to riding a bike to school, lost it for a couple years, and then got reintroduced to it actually by my now husband, who was always really into bikes personally. And when he moved to Chico, he moved to Chico for the biking community. So it's definitely been part of my whole time, you know, living in Chico. And then Chico Velo specifically, I had heard about, I had been introduced to just through friends and other community members. So I'd followed it. I participated in the Wildflower Century many times. I'm a road cyclist and also a mountain biker and also a bike commuter. So again, been kind of all over the place when it comes to biking in Chico. So again, been part of the Wildflower Century and heard about the organization. And at one point they were looking for new members and new board members. So I was interested and I applied really to kind of bring the voice around transportation and bike commuting. So they were already doing some work on that, but that's what I was interested in and why I wanted to join the organization. So I joined the board almost 10 years ago now, and have been on the board ever since. I'm now serving in the president role of the board, which has been great. And it's been really fun to make sure the organization continues. And we've had some ups and downs, but I'm really proud of where its history and where it's come from and what we're about to do in the future.
Could you let our listeners know real quick what you do for your career outside of being the board president?
Sure. So my day job, I'm actually the environmental and social impact director for Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, which is a wonderful company, obviously. And I've been really grateful to work there for the last 15 years. And part of that role does involve kind of community engagement around alternative transportation. So the brewery is definitely supportive of bike infrastructure. And, you know, we've had bike parking available at the brewery for decades. And so it's just sort of part of the company's DNA as well, which is great.
Can you talk about how and maybe why Chico Velo was formed?
We've been around for about 40 years. Formally, though, since about 1986 was when it actually became a nonprofit. But prior to that, so we're talking around 1980, Chico Velo was a cycling club. It was really just a group of people that wanted to ride together and just enjoyed cycling, road cycling specifically. Soon after that, a few of the members just realized, hey, we're a riding club and we just want to go out and ride, but we might also have a voice here in the community to bring better infrastructure, to work with city council, to work with engineering, to work with other partners to improve bike infrastructure in the town. So that could lead to bike paths or better pavement, you know, potholes. So early on, there was this interest from those original, just that group of riders that felt like they could make a difference and start working towards better infrastructure. So many listeners might know and recognize the name Ed McLaughlin. So he was very much part of those early days, really the leader, first general manager for Chico Velo. And, you know, he really spearheaded a lot of the advocacy work that is really rooted in Chico Velo.
What is cycling advocacy? Could you define that for us?
So for me, it's two things. It's the education side and then also true advocacy. So I'll start with education. If we don't, you know, our mission is really just more people on bikes in general, right? We want to see more people riding, whether that's for transportation or recreation. And so the advocacy or the education side is critical because if people don't understand why it's important to ride a bike, whether for your health or to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, or to reduce traffic, all these things that can contribute to like a healthy lifestyle, better community, if they don't understand that, then advocating for bike infrastructure is not going to work, right? If people don't understand why it's such an invaluable part of a community. So the education piece is important. So it's safety education. It's understanding why infrastructure is important. You know, how do you ride a bike safely? Don't ride on the sidewalk. There's all kinds of those types of things that we work on. So that's one component of it. And then on the other side is that sort of true advocacy where we are working directly with the city and making sure that the cycling, and I would say really active transportation, which includes pedestrians as well, that voice is coming through, you know, at city council meetings or in conversations about future projects. So that's, you know, we write letters of support, we work to gather feedback from the community, and then again, we bring that to where the conversations are happening about future projects, about infrastructure.
What are some examples of advocacy projects that you've seen be successful in your time as board director?
Prior to my time on the board, you know, Chico Velo was integral in things like pavement repair and potholes and kind of simpler things like that. And then especially bike paths, like bike paths being built specifically for bikes separate from the roadways. So that was something that Chico Velo helped develop, you know, prior to my time. Since I've been on the board, you know, we've been part of a lot of infrastructure projects where our voice, I would say we were an active part of bringing that feedback and specific design ideas and, hey, maybe not put bollards or, you know, those very specific things that only people that do ride or walk would have experience with. So that's the type of thing that we bring into those city conversations. So I think about the Bikeway 99 project. You know, that started 15 years ago. Velo was part of those workshops and those community engagement feedback sessions, bringing the voice of like, hey, connectivity is key. Yes, we should make sure that there's no gaps in this infrastructure. You know, some signage would be helpful. You know, bringing those specific components, which I would say the city in general does. There's some really good bike infrastructure in Chico, and the city should be proud of that. Because it's not easy to do, and I feel like they've done a really good job of trying to prioritize it among all the other things they're trying to do as a city. However, I would also say Velo's been, you know, we're one of the reasons why I think that stuff has been prioritized, is because we do have a strong foothold in the community. It's a very active bicycling, you know, city and town. So I think it's both. I think I've seen us be very helpful in bringing that voice to specific projects, and then I've also seen the city realize to prioritize it, and it is such an important part of the community.
Chico Velo has quite a few programs, is that right?
Yes, and I'm super proud and excited about our Trailworks program. So again, if you think about the history of Chico Velo, it was really in road cycling at the very early days, certainly around transportation. But then about 10 years ago, we embarked on a Trailworks program, and recognizing that we do have Bidwell Park, we do have mountain biking as a big component of cycling in Chico. And also recognizing that the city, due to a lot of reasons that they've not been able to recover from, has had to move away from a dedicated trails staff. So we used to have, they used to have staff members at the city of Chico that were dedicated solely to trails, which was great. Again, lots of challenges that they've had to navigate. And so we recognized at that point, they need help. We want to have good trails in town. We're also mountain bikers. So what can we do? And so I would give a lot of credit to another one of our board members, Thad Walker, who brought this idea to Chico Velo and said, hey, what if we started doing a stewardship program to not only take care of the trails in Bidwell Park and kind of give back to this wonderful resource that we have, but also see if we can improve them and maybe build different trails. And so we, again, over the last 10 years, have built a really strong relationship with the city. We are the only non-staff organization that's allowed to do work in the park on Bidwell Park trails, which took a long time to build that trust because, you know, the city takes that very seriously. Bidwell Park is a wonderful resource. They're not just going to let anyone go out there and change things. And so we've gone through extensive training and we've worked with the city directly on making sure we got the right volunteer agreements in place. We know what we're doing. They have a trust in us and a confidence in us that now we know the techniques, the right way to brush a trail, the right way to maintain a trail, to make sure it's sustainable, make sure it's safer, that we maybe don't have as much erosion and we're not letting our trails just erode every year in the rain. So there's a lot of work that we've done, and we're extremely proud of it because it's a very successful program. We have amazing crew leaders. Volunteers are coming out all the time to give back. They want to, you know, support our trails. So it's been wonderful. Hundreds of hours every year we put into those trails. And we've learned a lot to the point now that we're getting comfortable with even rock work, and doing some slight trail repairs and reroutes and building actual features as opposed to just, you know, brushing it or kind of making sure the drains are there. So I've learned a ton about, you know, I was already a mountain biker, but I've learned so much about the proper way to take care of a trail, and maintain trails, through our TrailWorks program. So it's been very successful. I'm really glad to have it under our umbrella. And it's just brought in a lot of community volunteers and support, and it's been really great.
How does Chico Velo TrailWorks prioritize all users of trails, and how do we make sure that we're not just making trails better for mountain bikers?
We're not mountain bike TrailWorks, right? We're just called the TrailWorks program because we know, yes, we might be mountain bikers and a lot of our crew leaders are, but actually not all. And a lot of our volunteers are not mountain bikers. Bidwell Park is for all users. Again, I like to ride them, but I also like to run them and hike them. And so you got to make sure that when you're building a trail, there's definitely differences in how you build or maintain a trail. If it's just going to be for mountain bikers, you might build it differently. If it's for multi-use, you know, everybody, again, dog walkers, hikers, runners, mountain bikers, you'd work on a trail differently. So you're not building jumps necessarily, right? Because that's not fun for a trail runner or a hiker. They don't want big jumps in their trail, and nor do I when I'm running or hiking.
Or when I'm biking in Bidwell Park, I don't want a kicker.
Good point. Not a lot of people even do on a mountain bike. So we absolutely take that into account, and our whole mission with TrailWorks, in fact, it's literally written into our mission for TrailWorks, is that it is for all users and multi-use, and the way Bidwell Park is set up to be where it's for everybody. And again, we're coming at it from, yes, we're a bike advocacy organization, but when it comes to trails, we're very much just wanting them to be sustainable and safe and usable by everybody.
Mandy, could you tell us about some of the other programs that Chico Velo has, like Adopt a Path or Bike Valet?
Yes. Bike Valet has been around a long time. It's become kind of a go-to for people at the farmer's market and even at some other large events around town. It's so great. And it kind of goes back to that advocacy question you asked earlier, because if the infrastructure is not there, if we're not encouraging and educating people on how it's convenient and easy and safe to ride a bike, we don't achieve our mission of getting more people comfortable to do it. And so Bike Valet makes it very convenient, safe. It's free. It's totally encouraging and advocating for people to ride their bike because it'll be secured. You don't have to worry about it. You know, you don't have to lock it up. Someone's going to watch it for you. And so that program's been around a long time now, again, probably more than a decade. You'll see it at Farmers Market and other large events, even at Sierra Nevada. So Sierra Nevada is now offers the Our Bike Valet service there as well. And so that's been incredibly successful. We're hoping to grow that and expand that. And then Adopt a Path. So I mentioned Bikeway 99, and we've got some other paths that aren't necessarily part of Bikeway 99, but specific bike paths. We've also started the Adopt a Path program maybe 5 or 6 years ago to encourage people that want to support bike paths, again, to make sure bikers have a place to like comfortably and safely get around town. If you want to ride your bike, those paths, it'd be nice if they're clean and if people feel safe going through them. So the Adopt a Path was really a way for people that wanted to give back. They can adopt a path. So I think we've got six or seven adopted sections out. So a lot of, Rotary has one, Sierra Nevada has one, Clean Canteen has one. They've been adopted by these organizations or these companies that just offer to keep them clean and maintain them a few times a year. And so also been very successful. And again, it's a way for organizations or businesses to give back. You know, maybe they can't give money, or maybe they don't have a lot of time to dedicate to Bike Valet or some of our other things, but they can pull together a cleanup once a month or once a quarter. And so that's another huge partnership with the city. They provide us with all the materials that we need. We just help organize the sponsors and the adopters, and make sure those cleanups happen. And then promote those organizations as well. And so it's been really, really popular.
So we've talked about all of our programs, and we've talked about advocacy and the history, but there's one big part of Chico Velo we haven't touched on, that, and that is the Wildflower Century. That's our biggest fundraiser and also one of the largest road rides in Northern California. Can you tell us a little bit about the Wildflower and its history?
Yeah. So going back again, probably 40 years, it started as just a ride that people like to do. And I would say the original route is probably not, you know, it didn't have seven routes back then. And, but really it was just a big ride that the local people wanted to do. And there's still a lot of those original sort of Chico Velo early members that are still riding with us today. They're still either part of the organization or they support it or donate in some way. So really cool to see. We have a lot of people still in the community that were around at the very start of when the Wildflower became a thing. So now what it's turned into, though, again, it was a ride that people just wanted to do on the regular, and it was like a big event. It has become pretty much our sole fundraiser for the organization. So for the last 25, 30 years, it has been how our organization stays afloat. So it's a fantastic event. It showcases all that wonderful road riding that we talked about earlier, because we have so much of it here in Chico and Butte County. But it is, yeah, it's become our sole fundraiser. So 90% of the way our organization works for the rest of the year comes from revenue from the Wildflower. So it is a fantastic event. It's still, I think, one of the best centuries that I've ever been to, and I've done quite a few of them in California and other states. It's earned its reputation, and it also happens to be for a good cause, because it truly supports Chico Velo, literally. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's coming up. And now, as you said, it's we've got seven different routes. We still have all the good food that people are used to. Whether you're someone that's been riding a long time or you're just trying to get into it, there's a length route for you. So it really has become, hopefully, an accessible and just really great community event for people. And like I said, it also is for a good cause. So you can have a really good time, but also support all the work that we do the rest of the year. And we bring in, it's usually 200 to 300 volunteers that show up for this event, and they are at the rest stops, and they are helping you check in, and they're at the store, and they're doing everything. I mean, yes, we have to plan it, and it is a lot to plan, but it is a huge turnout from the community that is beyond appreciated. I haven't been many places, but the places I have gone, I don't know of a more bike-friendly and bike excited community. Like, there are people that under this, you know, Chico and the surrounding areas, like, really understands the role that active transportation, but also bicycle recreation, plays in a community. It's extremely important. It's accessible to everybody, right? But it's also, like, it's so much part of mental health, physical health, alternative transportation, reducing greenhouse gas emissions. It hits all the boxes. And I think we've got, again, thanks to those early people, maybe around Chico Velo, but even prior to that, we've built such a strong community around it that I think it just keeps people going, because it feels good. It's so fun. It literally builds community in lots of ways. So I think that's part of it. It's got to be.
There's really something for everybody. There's a 12-mile route, a 30-mile route, a 62-mile route, some 100-mile routes, and then the mega route, which is all the routes in one.
If you want it all, just go for that one.
Yes, if you want it all, and if you also want to taste every food at all the rest stops, that's the one to pick. So why do you think the wildflower is important to Butte County, not just Chico cycling community?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, we're still a pretty rural part of California, right? And I think that's the beauty of it. But also, I think the wildflower showcases the amazing part that is truly Northern California, right? So when you talk to people about Northern California, they usually, they might just think of the Bay Area. They might go as far as Sacramento. But we're obviously 100 miles even more north than that, right? And so I think that's also part of bringing people to Butte County and showing them what we have here. So it is a great way to literally see and just kind of tour Butte County through on a bike, and because it literally is taking you into, like you said, Oroville, Paradise, Sterling City, Durham. We're all over the place on the ride. So it's just a great way to see the whole county.
Do you have to be an avid bicycler to participate in the wildflower?
Definitely not. I mean, that's part of why we have all those route options. I've seen people do long routes, like 60-mile route on a cruiser. I don't know how they're doing it, but they do it and they have a great time. So you literally could, you know, you can ride out to Durham and back, and it's flat. It's on a bike path the whole way. You can do it on a cruiser. We've got people coming out with Ability First, which is fantastic. They've got hand cycles and all kinds of things. So it's accessible to anybody. And we have the child flower route. So if you've got kiddos, it's a great way to get them out on a bike. You can, you know, pull them along in a trailer, or if they're old enough, they could probably make it out to Durham and back, and it's a good ride for them. So we really have tried to make it, no, you don't have to be an avid cyclist. You do not have to be someone who rides their bike every day. The whole point, one, again, it's a fundraiser. One, we just want to see as many people on bikes as possible, and it's a good way to just try it out even if you're not an avid cyclist.
And Chico Velo puts out something called Pedal Principles that are hand in hand with our wildflower registration. And those are safety guidelines and expectations of riders for how to have proper road riding etiquette. Because that's usually right. You're in a group, or you can be in a group when you're riding. Could you just briefly touch upon some of that road riding etiquette?
Yeah, we do want to make sure that people understand the wildflower is fantastic. The community's used to it, but it's not closed, right? It's not a closed route, meaning you are not the only people on the road. So it's still open to vehicles, right? There's no traffic control that we're providing. So the pedal principles are there just to remind people, hey, yes, there's going to be a lot of bicyclists out, but you need to make sure you're riding single file, you're staying as far to the right as you can, you're following all traffic laws and rules of the road. So you do need to stop at stop signs, stop at stoplights. And again, just be respectful, and we have to actually share the road that day with vehicles, right? And so it's kind of a two-way reminding everybody, yep, we're doing this big bike event, so there's going to be lots of bicyclists out on the road, but we also need to make sure we're following all the rules of the road. And then also, you know, part of the pedal principles is make sure you got your water and a patch kit or a tire level or something that if you do need to repair your tire in between rest stops, you can do that.
I understand there is now a Wildfest accompanying the wildflower. What is the Wildfest about?
Yeah, Wildfest is really just a party. part of it was originally, you know, we do encourage anyone who is participating in the wildflower to come on Saturday, check in, get your water bottle, get your wristbands, get all of those things done on Saturday so that you're ready to go first thing Sunday morning and you don't have to come check in with us, because a lot of people want to start early. So it started as a way to just check in riders ahead of time, but now it's really almost like a separate community event. So even if you are not participating in the wildflower at all, you should come to the Wildfest, because we've got vendors, we've got food trucks, we've got activities, and there'll be things to do for the kids. It's really just a way to celebrate bikes and get people excited about the wildflower, but also just bikes in general. And just, it's a fun community event that you don't even have to have anything to do with wildflower or bicycling, but you can come and check out the vendors. There'll be stuff for sale, food. You can hang out. It's all for free. Sierra Nevada's Wildflower IPA will be there. So really, it's just come and hang out at the fairgrounds. It costs nothing to come and enjoy the day. If you happen to be also participating in the Wildflower, you can check in and do all those things during the Wildfest as well.
What are some of the positive changes you've noticed about cycling advocacy in California?
Well, I think this idea of complete streets is encouraging, because what it means is that we are, when we design streets or redesign them, we are thinking about all its users, and we're thinking about all the ways people are going to interact or use that roadway, right? So instead of just thinking about vehicles and traffic, which we do have to think about, but it's also going to look at the people walking on the sidewalk, the bikes riding in the bike lane, delivery vehicles. All these things are coming in the conversation when we talk about complete streets. So what I'm excited to see at the state level is this push towards complete streets that does think about alternative transportation. And that's really for a variety of reasons. It's to improve public health. The more active we are in our transportation, the healthier we're going to be. But it's also there to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, which improves air quality, which goes back to the public health, reduce traffic, encourage more economic vitality and business to places that do encourage active transportation. So I'm encouraged to see more of this conversation around complete streets and advocating for bikes as a real form of transportation. And I'm also excited to see a lot of, there is a lot of movement on trails for mountain bikers, but also for all trail users. So that's been really encouraging to see. The other one I've been following and we've been keeping an eye on is the conversation around e-bikes, because they're such an important, if you are truly talking about alternative transportation, e-bikes are a great way to get out of your car, maybe save some money on gas, be much more efficient and easier to park, all those things, right? Like I'm encouraged to see all the people adopting e-bikes as a form of transportation. And that's also something that CalBike and others have really been thinking about. How do we make sure those are included in the conversation? What are also the safety precautions that need to come with e-bikes, right? How are they defined? So they already are, and they're going to keep being a really important component of this like future of transportation.
How does your background in sustainability help you lead Chico Velo?
When I think about my role in environmental sustainability, I am thinking a lot about how do we reduce greenhouse gas emissions? What contributes to cleaner air and a more vibrant, healthy community? And I think a bike, it has all of those. So if I can, I'm classic, like I'm a multitasker. I do way too much. I take on too many things. So when I think about how do I get my exercise in plus get somewhere that I need to be, and I can just do it on a bike. So if I just ride my bike everywhere, which I'm fortunate to do in Chico, I'm getting my exercise taken care of on my way to work or on my way to run errands or on my way to do whatever else I need to do. So I like that you can kind of do both. And it helps you. It helps with transportation. And again, I also do it just for fun as well. So it just does so much for me personally. And I think does have so much overlap in that idea of future sustainability that, yeah, it just makes sense to me.
Thank you so much, Mandy.
Thanks, Whitney.
Celebrating Bike Month is a co-production of Chico Velo and KZFR Radio, 90.1 FM in Chico, California, and at kzfr.org. Post-production by Robert Jones. Our theme music is Midnight Blues by Leva. Celebrating Bike Month is made possible by funding from KZFR supporters and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. To find out more about Chico Velo, visit chicovelo.org. And remember, at Chico Velo, every month is Bike Month.